Welcome to Dracena Wines Podcast. Our wines plus your moments equals great memories. I'm your host, Lori, and this is a podcast about all things wine. Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Wine for Bet Street. It is hard to believe that we are already up to the letter M. I hope that we have been able to expand your knowledge and palate just a bit throughout this series. Today's wine is Mencia. It is a wine predominantly found in the northwest region of Spain, but also in Portugal, and now a little is being planted in Australia. This is the first wine in quite some time that both Debbie and I gave two thumbs up to and would recommend for you to hunt them down. So uncork, unscrew, or saber that bottle and connect with us as we chat, laugh, and drink some Mencia. We are live. Hey, happy Wine for Bet Street Monday.
It's the letter M this week.
All right, so the letter of the day is M, and it stands for Mencia, which is in Spain.
This is the first time I've heard of this particular grape variety.
It is the first time that I've heard of it also, but what is interesting to me is since we decided to do it, I've heard it multiple times in like the last couple of months.
And it's funny because I've seen it. Yesterday I was looking for a wine to open for dinner. We had prime rib, grilled prime rib. So I was looking through my wine cellar thing and I pulled out a Spanish wine and it was Mencia. Didn't even know I had it.
Oh.
I said, I can't open this.
Yeah.
That'd be cheating.
Yes.
I'd be cheating on you.
Yeah, don't cheat on me. Don't cheat on me.
No.
No, Alma would be sad. So, why don't you introduce yourself?
I'm Debbie Giafrindo. I'm the Hudson Valley Wine Goddess. I'm a certified specialist of wine and a wine location specialist in Port and Champagne. I recently published, or a year ago published, Tapping the Hudson Valley. It's a book on day trips and weekend itineraries visiting the craft beverage producers in the Hudson Valley and the sites along the way. I'm co-owner of Happy Bitch Wines. I'm a partner in a restaurant in Stone Harbor, New Jersey called Kitchen 330. And I don't know if I left anything out. I'm a wine blogger, wine writer, and I'm not taking on any more new projects.
Well, I'm Lori Budd. My husband and I, Michael, own the Dracena Wines, a boutique winery in Paso Robles. We specialize in Cabernet Franc. We also, Alma was all happy about Cab Franc. And we also produce a rosé of Syrah, and we are getting ready to bottle, I can't believe it, our 2016 wine will be bottled in July. We just finished our blending of our reserve. So, yay, we're going to have a reserve, a single vineyard designated wine. And what else? I am a wine blogger, a podcaster, obviously live streamer. Just came back from Bordeaux, where I was a guest of Clerc Milon for the Dance Awards, which blew my mind. So beautiful. And, drank lots of their champagne in 2001, 2009. Pretty darn good Bordeaux.
what an experience.
It was incredible.
It really is. That's a once in a lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah. It was truly.
Can't wait to read about it.
Oh, I got to write it. But yes. And again, I still haven't finished all of my writing from my first trip there. But it's, I did get out the Covent de Jacobin, which was very near to me. And he was such a sweetheart. He wrote me and thanked me for the podcast and the blog, which I couldn't believe, you know. So that was very sweet of Xavier. But today we are going to Spain. So
yes. Northwest Spain, to be exact.
Northwest Spain, yes. I'm going to start off with the general characteristics. So Mencia, Mencia, is a medium.
That's how it's pronounced?
Yes. Is a medium-bodied red wine grape that produces wines with floral and red fruit flavors. If the fruit is harvested from older, low-yield vines, it has shown the ability to age like other fine wines, and it is suggested as an alternative for Pinot and Gamay lovers. So, my guess is that I'm going to like what's in this glass because I'm a Pinot and Gamay lover. So, we'll see if they are right. Mencia makes its home mainly in the northwest above the border of Portugal in a region including the districts of Bierzo, Ribeira Sacra, and Valdeirós. Since the region is not typically a tourist area, Mencia has been quite the secret for quite a long time. Another reason actually has been local neglect. Traditionally, Mencia was dismissed as an indifferent local table wine and was hardly ever seen outside of Spain, resulting in a rather thin and kind of lackluster wine. So because it was just thought of as a typical table wine, no real effort was put into it to export it. And when it wasn't exactly the highest quality wines that people were seeing. In the 1990s, several wineries began producing exceptional wines, and then people started to take notice and started going, hey, how can we get this, whatever. And now the exportation of it has increased. So our little map here, these are the regions. And there's my little lovely Rías Baixas. Oh, I love that place. There's a bucket list for me also. Mencia is the primary grape of the Bierzo region, actually covering nearly two-thirds of the vineyards. This red grape variety is grown almost exclusively in the northwest part of Spain, especially in the DOs of Galicia, Valdeorras, Montiero, and Ribeira Sacra. Mencia ripens early, actually by mid-September, and is well suited to the maritime climate of the Bierzo, where autumn rains are quite common. So it sees a lot of rain, so they're harvesting by mid-September. I was curious if that really is at the full ripeness or they're trying to beat some of the rain. So that is probably more along your lines. Okay, the terpenes and terpenoids. Mencia contains high levels of the subgroup aroma compounds called terpenoids, which translate into lovely flower aromas, strawberry and raspberry. So all up in my jam right here. I'm like dying to try this wine. Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too.
In addition, there's black licorice, pomegranate, and cherry sauce. So all of the things that I love to get in wine. When you look at a glass of Mencia, you'll notice it's a deep red purple with subtle hues of violet towards the rim. And the color tells that Mencia has the high anthocyanin, the red pigments. So I just had to like look at it, and that is spot on. That is spot on. I mean, this, I don't want to use the word, but I'm going to. Like, what, it is dark, like grape juice, like pure grape juice, but it is spot on that it's the deep purple. So there are a lot.
It will give us some purple teeth.
Yes, I believe so. Okay, on the palate, you'll be greeted with peppery flavors. That's the little powdery stuff there. Peppery flower flavors, sour cherry, red currant, and pomegranate, along with bitter cherry pit flavors, which comes from the wine tannin. Now, this is a complete sidebar, but red currants, I forget where I was, but Mike and I were out for dinner, So it had to be over Memorial Day weekend. And there was red currants on the plate, but neither of us knew what it was, you know? And I was like, what is it? What is it? And I did my typical, well, you taste it first, you know? And so he tasted it and he's like, I know what this is. Taste it. And we tasted it and we both said it was red currant, but like we did it backwards. Like normally people taste the food and know it in the wine. We knew right. it from the wine. We knew what the food was. And then we did ask and we were correct. It was red currant. So that was the first time we've actually physically tasted one. It's pretty good.
Yeah, they are good.
Yeah. All right. So in the regions where it grows in Spain and actually in Portugal, you will taste a subtle crushed gravel or granite-like minerality in the texture, which often contributes to that black peppery taste. What I was talking about earlier, I couldn't find if it was a major problem or not, and that's what you're talking about. Menthia can be a trouble child in the vineyard. It is susceptible to botrytis and mildew and can lose its characteristic acidity rather quickly if not harvested promptly. Menthia's high alcohol and high acidity must be kept in check to retain the wine's balance. So there's quite a bit of winemaking hands involved, not necessarily to hide faults or do anything like that, but eyes on the prize. They constantly have to be checking the wine to make sure that it's going in the direction that they want it to go in. Oak is used sparingly as it can overwhelm the delicate flavor profile. And some producers are now actually starting to experiment with carbonic maceration to accentuate the variety's fruit characteristics and to reduce the tannins. So that is a process that California wineries are doing also. It's to kind of, you take these big wines that have high tannic structure through carbonic maceration. It allows you to get the color out, allows you to get the flavor out, but the tannin is not released in such high amounts. So that is what I have for general characteristics. So what do you think? Time to drink?
Yes.
Okay.
I haven't had much alcohol all day.
Neither have I. And I didn't drink yesterday. Sláinte. Oh, I love the nose.
I do too.
It's a pretty nose.
You can smell the floral. And the, wow.
Okay, here we go.
Violets, I get. Wow.
Oh, definitely sour cherry.
Mm.
It's got a very long finish.
This one's got pepper. I love it. I love the pepper.
I get pepper on the, I get a little bit of pepper on the nose, but I would say white pepper, not pepper black.
This wine here, it explodes.
Oh, this is a winner. Holy cow.
This is sour cherry, red currant. Mine is really good.
The acidity is so good. It just, it takes your tongue and wants you to have more. It's the acidity. Wow. Holy cow. Bam, Menthia.
I'm thinking this, well, I'll get into the food, but this is going to go great with food too. So I'm drinking Godelia. Menthia.
Okay, so I am drinking Petiolas.
Oh, what a pretty label.
Right? Petiolas. Yeah. And one of the things...
So Menthia is a Spanish grape grown in the northwestern part of Spain, just outside the Galicia region. Bierzo, Valdoras, and the Ribera Sacra are most known for growing the grape. It's also grown in the northern part of Portugal and goes by Jean Daudo.
Isn't that a cool name?
It is. It is a really cool name. The spiritual home of Menthia is Bierzo, which is situated in the far west corner of Castilla y León. And Bezerro consists of both numerous small valleys with high altitude sites that are perfect for growing this grape. So here we have some pictures of once thought to be a clone of Cabernet Franc. See, that's why we like it so much.
I know. It's like near and dear.
Then the University of Madrid did some DNA profiling, and it's not related to Cab Franc at all, but it's identical to Portugal's Jean Daudo. So here I have the Cab Franc grape and the Menthia grape, and you can see a little bit of the similarities.
Yeah, I can't get over how much foliage there is. That's like,
oh, yeah.
Serious.
Well, you know what? Maybe they don't do leaf pulling or something. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a lot of energy into leaves.
Yeah.
But maybe they need it for other reasons.
Maybe. So, Menthia was overcropped with high yields, and the wine was thin. And it was not a wine that people really sought after. It was kind of, in this particular region, kind of like just, I'm going to say left. Nobody really was focusing on the grape. And then Alvaro Palacios, who comes from a wine-growing family in the Rioja Baja region, he got into, obviously, wine. He studied in Bordeaux, and he moved to Prat, mm-hmm. where he created wines from old vineyards of Grenache and Carina.
And so whose wine am I drinking?
Are you drinking his wine?
I am drinking his wine.
Oh, that's way cool. That is way cool. So in 1998, he went to Bayerzo with his nephew, Ricardo Perez, and he opened up the winery. But he started making wines from the Menthia grape, and he sought out old, neglected vines to do this on the hillsides of Bayerzo. And they also they bought land, they replanted with Menthia, and they realized that the grape was really capable of producing a good, elegant wine and a wine that also aged. Before that, the wines, they were just, I would say, just thin, everyday wines that you don't put much thought into. Menthia has to be watched, because it is very susceptible to botrytis and mildew. And because of the weather, as you said, it'll lose its acidity if it's harvested too late, with alcohol levels rising to undesirable levels. So not only, you know, a lot of times, you know, grapes will be left on the vine to, you know, have the sugars rise. Here, it's really essential that they pick it at the right time. And at the right time, not just for the mildew, the botrytis, but it's everything. It's you know, I would say it's very sensitive.
Yes.
You have to do it at the right time. So that's pretty much what I have. I tried to research, and there's not much known on it. They still don't know the DNA on it.
Right. I found this to be a very difficult grape to do research on. You know, every website I went to, everything I read was exactly the same thing, just sometimes not even in different words, exactly the same thing.
Right.
There was, you know, there wasn't really any true history. There wasn't any, you know,
right.
It was very difficult.
Except for the gentleman who saved it.
Yeah.
Because they weren't. You know, it was just all gone to weeds, pretty
right.
much.
Right.
So saved it.
I guess they're going, you know, I guess we have a long way to go in finding out more about this grape and the history of it. But there's really not a lot of information on this at all.
This is a darn good wine.
It really is. It really is. And I'm trying to think back to our previous Wine from Bet Streets, and, you know, this is the first one that I'm like gangbuster over in a while. You know, there's others that I've liked, you know.
This is very similar, though. See, the things, characteristics that I like about a Cab Franc is I love the pepper.
Right.
I love that burst of pepper and the burst of spice in a wine. And this is giving it to me. My bottle is.
I kind of get the Gamay. I didn't want that drop to fall. Did you notice that? I couldn't waste that drop.
I saw that.
I kind of get the concept of a Gamay, but not a Pinot. It's bigger than a Pinot. You know, I mean,
bigger than a Gamay too.
It's bigger than a Gamay also, but the aromas are more Gamay like to me. But I'm digging it big time.
Oh, I've got some little vanilla in there. It really does remind me of a Cab Franc.
It does. It does.
It's not as weight wise. It's a little bit lighter than a Cab Franc.
It has more. I think it has more acidity.
It has more acidity, like more towards the Gamay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like it. This is a good time to talk about our sponsor. Okay. So our sponsor is Wink Wines. And basically Wink Wines is a wine club that you can join for free. And what you do is you take a little profile quiz. The first time you go to their website, you take a little profile quiz. And by answering these simple questions, they give you a palate profile. And then they start to recommend wines for you. And every month you get 4 bottles shipped to you. You can add to that if you would like, but as long as you take 4 bottles, the shipping is included. Okay. And you can either pick the wines that they recommend to you every month, or you can say, no, I want to do this instead. Add to it, take away, do whatever you want to do. If you don't want wines that month, you can skip a month at no penalty. So it's a really variable type of wine. And if you go to our link, which is trywink.com/winefabet. So trywinc.com/winefabet. You're going to get $22 off of your first box. And that pretty much gives you 4 wines delivered to your door for like under $30. So it's awesome. You can cancel at any time, and you can skip if you want. You can add, you can do whatever. They have everything. I've gotten ciders from there. Yeah, I've gotten ciders. And next month's episode is going to be a wine that I got from wink.com. They're always changing. And it's a whole bunch of different wineries from all, or winemakers from all over the world. So there's California, there's Spain, there's Portugal, there's loads of wines constantly changing. So just check it out if you're interested in getting a good deal. You know, $22 off of your first box. If you don't like your first box, that's 4 wines for under $30. Cancel at no penalty. So, but yeah. So this is my wine. Hey,
okay,
so this is Petioles, and this I got for, it is a 2015. And one of the interesting things that I did read and that I did notice on this is that Menthia is hardly ever on the label. Does your label say Menthia?
It does.
It does. On the front?
It does, right.
In the back?
Right underneath the name.
Oh, okay. Typically, it actually doesn't say it on it according to the statistics. It's more important about the region. So on the back, it says, this is from, it's in Spanish. I mean, it is from Petiolos 2015, Embolsado por Descendientes de J. Palacios. So from the descendants of Palacios. And it is
from Bierzo.
Bierzo. Yep, this is also from Bierzo. Honestly, you pretty much said my wine, because that was the same information I had about the wine. This actually got a 92 with both James Suckling and Robert Parker. And at $18, I'm going back and buying more because it was pretty stellar. But it is from the famed winemaker Alvaro Palacios. It's, according to them, this rich velvet textured red is actually made from 60 to 100-year-old Menthia vines. And they are grown in the steep slopes of Bierzo. I was going to talk about where he came from, but you went over that. Right? He's from Rioja. But he worked for Chateau Petrus in Bordeaux. Well, okay, not too shabby of a place to work. Upon returning to Spain, he ventured northeast to Bierzo, and he kind of found his love with Mentia and with the region, wanting to make wine from the region. He's traveled his native Spain. He actually was first a barrel salesman. So he used to sell French barrels to the winemakers. And during his journey, he would always like, here's my barrel. How about you give me some wine? So he was constantly tasting wines from different regions that he was selling the wines to, or the wine barrels to. In 1990, he ultimately found Perrier, where he would achieve worldwide fame with La Muerta and Finca Dofe. I am not familiar with them, but apparently that's worldwide fame. But he also did love Bierzo. And what else did you not say? So it had the ingredients that Alvaro wanted. The region had the ingredients that Alvaro wanted, distinctive terroirs and ancient vineyards. And it had the Mentia grape. And so this was what he wanted to do. He wanted to be the spokesperson for Mentia. So he is like me with Cab Franc. What? Yes. Yes. He is the reason why it's there. So that beginning in 2001, his estate began to make individual vineyard bottlings. The winery itself is dedicated to his father. He works with his son, Ricardo, and that's pretty much the wine, minus what you already said, because he's so famous.
So mine is from Godelia.
Okay.
And in 2009, Vicente decided to produce wine with the Mentia grape, or open also a winery, because he makes wine from other grapes as well. And this particular wine, what I'm drinking, actually it's much older. It is a 2012.
Oh, wow.
So shows how it ages. I would love for us to be in the same room, since yours is a younger wine.
To taste, yeah.
To taste the difference. This particular the Mentia comes from 50 to 90 year old vines. All picking is done by hand, loaded into small plastic crates, and then chilled 24 to 48 hours at 23 degrees in reef containers. And this causes them to split and begin maceration on the skin. It's then cold soaked. And entirely destemmed. Fermentation starts slowly as the musts warm up in the tank and the temperature remains cool, 69 to 71 degrees Fahrenheit, through the entire fermentation period. The wine rests on the skins for another 6 days with gentle extraction with short pump overs. And the Mentia spends 12 months in 105 and 132 gallon oak casks. And these oak casks, 90% are French, 10 are American, and 1/3 of them are new oak.
Oh. So you are up again. We're going to talk about the food pairings. Curious what you came up with, because my mind is...
Well, you know what? You're always going to go with what's available in the, you know.
In the region.
So, Manchego cheese. But, let's see here. What do I have? Pork. It goes very well with pork. It cuts through the acidity cuts through the fattiness of the pork. And it also, I don't remember if I did a duck. I did. That's Kitchen 330. duck will go very well with this because of the fruity, as long as it's done in a fruit-based accompaniment with the duck, like a lot of duck is served with, a blueberry compote or a cherry compote or some type of a a fruit profile.
Right.
And it'll match, a roasted duck, it will match with this grape. And I also want to bring home, we've made duck and sweet potato croquet. Croquet is a game, croquettes. I want to see how this will pairs with that. I bet you it'll pair really nicely because it's got some a fruity compost next to it. So pork, it will go well with brisket, barbecued brisket. It'll go well with.
I can see barbecue.
And of course, all different kinds of cheeses. We have Mahone cheese, which is from Mallorca, which is off the coast of Spain, an island off the coast of Spain. Mm-hmm. And it's also known for its cheese production, and it's home to the most respected dairy plants of Europe, in Europe. Roquefort cheese, Roquelette, goat cheese, Gouda, Monterey Jack, your classic Manchego, you know, in Spain. Go with, you know, Manchego cheese, mushroom risotto. I'm seeing, you know, this probably would do good with the barbecue on. I'm thinking ribs as well.
Oh, yeah, I can see barbecue. It's actually, you know, now that it's warming up even more, it's kind of petite Syrah-like. So I'm going away.
I can see that.
I'm going away from the Gamay and Pinot. It is, at least mine, is a bigger wine.
Oh, cool. I get the floral. I just poured myself in a second glass.
Yeah, I'm almost done with my second.
Oh, well, I guess I'm playing catch up with you.
Yeah. It is a much bigger wine than I would say with Gamay or a Pinot.
I don't think I would put it in with the Gamay or
no,
or
it's, Gamay. I put it more with the Petite Syrah, Cab Franc, like.
Cab Franc.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it definitely has floral, the pepper, you know, there's minerality in there. You know, Michael was saying that the wine shop told him it was vegetal. I don't get vegetal. I'm not getting any pyrazine.
And I'll tell you, my wine costs $19. And this is a darn good wine.
Yeah.
For $19.
Yeah. Like I said, mine was 18 and I will go get more. This is, this at under $20, this is an everyday wine that can stand up to a not everyday, to like a special occasion too. I'm digging it big time.
I would definitely go with like a brisket. Anything smoked, even pulled pork, you know, pork loin, ribs, and it's definitely hard cheese.
Yes.
Although it's a goat cheese too, but
yeah, I would go more hard. I would go more hard cheese.
Semi-soft, maybe, because Gouda is kind of a semi-soft. Manchego, but I wouldn't go with it wouldn't go well with like a Parmesan cheese or anything like that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of my vegetarian meals. A bean burrito, chipotle, maybe.
Yeah, I can see.
Maybe not hot chipotle. You know,
no,
like just a little.
I would go with spice.
Yeah, no, but like a nice
spice in the wine.
Yeah, a nice bean burrito. But I think it could go with lighter stuff too. Like I think it can. I think that like a spinach salad, you know, with
bacon bits.
Yeah, like you know, with bacon bits.
Bar? Yeah.
Like I'm. Yeah, I mean 18. I do think it's similar to Cab Franc. I would classify it closer to Cab Franc than a Pinot and
yes.
a Gamay.
And weight-wise, I wouldn't even put it in a Pinot or a Gamay weight-wise classification.
No.
It's definitely medium-bodied, not light-bodied.
No, I would even go medium plus. I'd even go mine's big.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, medium plus.
Yeah.
If I saw this on a menu at a restaurant, I would order it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I am in.
I will go and buy more of this. Although this was sent to me, I will have to confess, this was sent to me as a sample. So I'm totally impressed. I would definitely recommend the grape and the wine.
Yeah, and I'm very curious to now try another bottle to compare it. You know, this I love this wine. I'd like to try another bottle to see if it is the grape that I like, you know. For $18,
$19, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, under $20 is pretty spot on, you know.
Yeah. It's great, and it's great value. It's a great wine.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm speaking for my wine. You could speak for your wine. Yours is, you know, but, and it would be, you know what, it would be a good summer red to take to a barbecue.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still trying to wrap on, you know, vegetarian meals that it would go with. But like I'm thinking it would go with like an not spicy. I'm not going spicy, but like an Asian like Kung Pao, not Kung Pao chicken, General Tao's chicken, but General Tao's tofu.
I do General Tao's tofu too.
Like that.
I don't think it would go with that.
No? Too sweet?
I think it's too sweet.
Too sweet?
Too sweet.
I mean, honestly, the thing that's coming to my brain over and over again is cheese. Like, this is a wine that Mike and I are going to sit outside with, glass in hand, cheese platter in front of me, and I'm just going to town with cheese. You know, but the risotto that I had in Bordeaux is, I'm going there with that also.
Yeah, that will taste good. And mushrooms, it goes, you know, mushroom risotto. And
yeah.
It would probably taste well with like a chicken and a mushroom sauce.
Yeah, well, not for me, but yeah.
Yeah,
but I, you know, again, that mushroom thing is a Cab Franc thing. Mushrooms go very well with a Cab Franc. It's funny because they talked about how they thought it was Cab Franc, but I don't know if they thought it was Cab Franc from the leaf structure and the, you know, the cluster structure. Like, was it elongated? The picture was, you know, it was tough because you had a picture in bin and you had a picture on a vine.
Yeah.
You know, you can identify grapes. That was part of UC Davis, which drove me crazy, but like they show you a picture of a grape cluster and we were supposed to identify it by the grape cluster. You know, some are elongated, some are fatter. The berries are bigger or the berries are smaller. You know, all of that stuff. So I'm wondering if it looks like Cab Franc or, if it tastes like it. And there is a lot of similarity in the taste to me, but there's also, if I tasted this blind, I would not say it was Cab Franc. Like, if I was blind, I wouldn't say it was Cab Franc. But, my palate is very specified to Cab Franc.
There's not enough cherry flavor in it for me to say it's Cab Franc. Okay.
It's got a different acidity level. It's got a different mouthfeel to it. It's beautiful, but it's not Cab Franc. So if I was tasting it, I wouldn't say it was. So I'm curious as to what made them think it was Cab Franc. But then again, they thought Carmenere was Merlot forever. And
right.
I don't get that.
Any more research has to be done on this particular grape.
Right.
So maybe, you know, it will be done. Maybe
right.
It's just not high on your priority.
Right. And you know what? If wine like this is being imported, it will get on people's radar.
Yeah.
So my guess is that we're getting this for a great price because it's not on too many people's radar.
Yep, and I will say mine is, what did I say, mine was a 2012, yours is a 2015. The only difference is a dollar price.
Right.
So where my wine is aging really well, and actually it's probably, I would say at its peak, right now, I don't know if I would sell or something like this.
See, now that's interesting because yours is a 2012 and you're saying that I would not recommend this.
Okay.
And I think that it can stand a few more years. You know, I think it's drinkable next year.
So that would put it in line with my wine.
Right. I'm going to say drink by 2020 is what I would say for this.
And I would say mine is probably, I would get it now. I wouldn't go past another year.
Right.
I would definitely get it now.
Right.
It would make a great holiday. Not that, you know, here we are in June thinking of the holidays, but this would make a good wine on the holidays.
Mm-hmm. And Ms. Parmentia, fast facts, okay? We got fact number one. Mencia only grows in Spain and Portugal and the Iberian Peninsula, except now it grows in part of Australia. So Australia has decided that it is a good winery. It is a good wine grape for Mencia, or great wine region for Mencia, and there is a very small production. So if you take all of the production of Mencia, it is like 95% Spain, like 4% Portugal, and 1% now Australia, or less than 1% in Australia. Fact number two. Mencia is labeled as Jaén in Portugal. It is grown specifically in the northern half of the country. Fact number three. Although Mencia has no relation to Cabernet Franc, a relation was long suspected due to the similarities of aromas. And I will go back to, I agree with the aromas, but the flavor profile is different.
I agree with you.
Basically because...
Even the aromas are different.
I think there's more similarity. Like, I can see somebody saying there's similarities in the aromas. But the palate just is a different palate. But I can get it. But again, I want to go back and I want to look up. I want to compare the grape cluster to grape cluster and the grape leaf to the grape leaf. Because those are identifying factors in terms of visual on the vine. So I would like to go back and look at those and compare those for my own science geekiness, nerdiness of myself. Fact number four, although Mencia, is relatively easy to find in the United States, you need to be aware that with many Mencias, you will still only see the appellation name, such as Bierzo, on the front label, not the grape name, as mine does not have the grape name anywhere on the label. And last, according to the latest figures, there are about 25,000 acres of Mencia in Spain, as well as about 7,000 acres in Portugal. And I think there's less than 1,000 acres in Australia. So that be...
Where in Australia?
What?
You know where in Australia?
No, I didn't go that far down.
I was just sorry, put you on the spot.
That's all right. Nope. I'm just noticing my teeth are really purple.
I know. I got this one tooth that really picks up.
I need wine wipes. but so that is Mencia. I'm a lover.
I am too.
I got two thumbs up for Mencia.
Next month,
yes,
we are going to talk about the letter N.
Yes, Negriamo.
What day is it? It is going to be on Monday, July 16th.
So we're good.
Okay, so you're able to make it on the 16th?
Yeah, we're bottling on the 17th and the 18th. So
okay.
Ooh, it's our first year bottling on 2 days.
Nice. Congratulations.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yes, we are growing. Yeah. I guess technically we bottled 2 days because we bottled the Cab Franc, and then we bottled the rosé at a whole different time. But
that rosé, if any of you are listening, if you can get a hold of Lori's Rosé of Syrah, it is absolutely awesome. I haven't even written about it. I think I did post a picture. I don't even know if I did, but we had it one night, and it was...
Oh, thank you.
It was just so good.
Thank you. Thank you. It's, you know, I say it all the time. It's like when it's, I mean, we don't have children, so, you know, we have our wine, but when people say they like our wine and they make comments like that, it's heartwarming, and words can't explain how appreciative I am and how, honestly, I can't explain what it makes me feel like when people post that they love our wine or do, you know, say it. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
So that is anyway. Menthia.
Yes, and we hope we opened up everybody's minds and palates to a new grape. It's something that you wouldn't normally go into a liquor store and seek out, but I would definitely recommend both of our brands that we were drinking tonight. Yes. Because we were both very, very happy with them. And they're great value. They're both under $20. And I'm telling you, I don't know if there's going to be much left in my bottle after, because yeah. I'm really enjoying this.
I'm on glass three. And I'm going to say there's probably another glass before I hit the sack tonight.
Yeah.
It's good.
It is good. So definitely, you know, if this is the type of wine that you like, definitely. So
give it a try. Give it a try.
Thank you guys for joining us, and we'll catch you next month.
Yes. Sláinte. Did you know that Dracena Wines now has a wine club? We named it the Chalk Club. Draco is on our label, but Vegas was getting a little jealous, so we decided he deserved to be our club spokesdog. In Las Vegas, betting chalk means that you are betting on all of the favorites. We are betting that we are one of your favorite wineries, so we thought the name was apropos. The club is simple, yet a bit different than most. When you wager on us, we will ship you 3 bottles of wine twice a year, once in April and once in September. You can choose all red or mix of red and rosé. You immediately receive 15% off of all your wine purchases throughout the year, but what makes our club stand out is the progressive discount. Let your club membership ride into the next year, your discount increases. Each year you parlay your membership, you receive an additional 5% off up to a planned maximum of 25%. Your club shipments are discounted to a flat $15, plus we'll cover your club shipping cost for your second shipment. That's $15 house money in a sure bet for you. So please head to our website, DracenaWines.com, and find out all of the benefits of joining the Chalk Club and how to sign up. We've stacked the odds so that you can get our award-winning wines without breaking the bank. Thanks for listening to Dracena Wines Podcast. If you have suggestions on what topics you would like us to discuss, please reach out to us on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, Facebook, Snapchat, Google, and Periscope as @DracenaWines. I am also on LinkedIn as Lori Hoyt Budd, or email us at DracenaWines.com. If you enjoyed our podcast, please subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast catcher to help others find us more easily. We are found on all of your favorite aggregators. To subscribe easily to iTunes, go to bit.ly/DracenaPodcast. That's bit.ly/DracenaPodcast. And that's a capital D for Dracena and capital P for podcast. Please check out our award-winning wines and find out about our wine club at DracenaWines.com. And remember to always pursue your passion. Sláinte.